Let's just open in prayer. Father God, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you are faithful, Lord. Thank you that you are a loving Father who cares for our needs, Lord. Thank you that you hear our prayers, Lord. Lord, we welcome you this morning. Lord, I pray that your presence will fill this church, Father God, and you will touch each and every one of us this morning with a new word, Father God. You will speak to our hearts, Lord, as we approach this new year, Lord. We go in confidently, Lord, knowing you are with us always. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I just want to share with you, I'll have to cut it a bit shorter now. I titled Encounter. I really felt the Lord saying to me, you know, I'm going to speak about encounter. And the Webster Dictionary, the definition of encounter is so nice. It says, to come upon face to face. That's what encounter means. So when I take you to Acts 8, verse 1, in the Amplified Version, it says, and Saul was not only consenting to Stephen's death, he was pleased and entirely approving. On that day, a great and severe persecution broke out against the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. But Saul shamefully treated and laid waste the church, continuously with cruelty and violence. And entering house after house, he dragged out men and women and committed them to prison. Now, just to go back to the beginning where it says Saul approved of Stephen's death. Stephen, the word of God says, Stephen was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. He was a God-fearing man who loved the Lord. And they persecuted him because of his faith. And Saul said, stone him, it's fine. And they stoned Stephen and he died. He was actually the first man to be killed for his faith in Jesus Christ. So clearly Saul was had an issue with Christians and had an issue with God. And if I have to use my, you know, Saul persecuted Christians. He persecuted the church. And he even gave consent for people to be killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. So if I had to use my imagination, I would think Saul was a grumpy, angry man, something like that. Really chasing hard after Christians, killing them and destroying them, going house to house, finding them. But see, in Acts 9, I'm going to read quite a bit, so please bear with me. It says from verse 1, the topic is Saul's conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, which is Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there, speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias? Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now you must see Ananias' response, and I don't blame him. He says, Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who will call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, And after taking some food, he regained his strength. So what happened here in Acts 9, Saul had an encounter, I would call it an encounter, a proper encounter with Jesus. In his light, the Lord spoke to him from heaven, and he was completely transformed, completely changed, his heart changed. And the truth is, if we have an encounter with Jesus, we can't stay the same. It's impossible. The Lord changed our hearts. He changed Saul's heart. Where Saul was on his way to persecute more Christians, to persecute the church, where he was on his way to, the Lord had an encounter with him. He called him. He stopped him. He changed his heart completely. And from there onwards, Paul was completely sold out for Jesus. He was a true apostle, a missionary. Paul wrote a third of the New Testament in the Bible. He wrote the letters in the books. I firmly believe it's because Paul understood the grace of God. Where he was on his way to kill God's people, God stopped him and changed him and saved his life. Where he was this sinner killing people, God saved him. And he changed his life completely, where he became a missionary, an apostle, writing books in the Bible, praying for people, being healed. And the only way I can understand why this must have been a real powerful encounter with the Lord is because if Paul, so let's just clarify, Saul and Paul, it's the same person. I can see some people thinking, Saul, Paul, who are they? It's the same person, but Saul was changed by the Lord, and his heart changed completely, and he became Paul. Now, Saul believed with his whole heart in the beginning, Saul, God doesn't exist. He wants to kill all the people who worship God. And then he changed. Now for me to understand, try and understand that is, if we can have imagine, Helen Ziller changing to the ANC, for example, it's not going to happen. Or Julius Malema changing to the DA, for example. It's not going to happen. Those people believe in their party and in their politics, and I'm not going to go there. So for Saul to change completely, turn around 180 degrees and go the opposite direction, he must have had a real encounter with Jesus Christ. And that encounter, people, it doesn't have to be a light from heaven falling onto us, hearing a voice clearly. It can be in church, in your quiet time at home, when you read your Bible, you pray to the Lord. He's always ready to have an encounter with us. Want to speak to us in a song, through a friend, through an SMS. The Lord always wants to have an encounter with us, just as he did with Paul. So then, Paul must have been a happy guy. He changed from being a grumpy old man to a happy man, full of the Holy Spirit, on a mission to change the world for the Lord. Because he understood grace, and he wanted to share that grace with everyone else. And for me, it's such a revelation to know that if God can change Saul, a murderer and a man that's a bad man, why can't he change us? Why can't he forgive our sins? And the truth is, he is forgiving. He has forgiven our sins, and he will forgive our sins. So when we look back to 2012, perhaps, and you think of the worst sin you committed, I'm sure none of us here killed anyone like Saul did. I hope not. And, the Lord has forgiven you. If you ask for repentance in the Lord, and you speak to the Lord, he's forgiven you. There's no sin like Dion said in the song, there's no sin too great for forgiveness. The Lord's grace was sufficient for Paul, and it's definitely sufficient for us today as well, because the Lord is still the same 2,000 years ago and now. The truth is also, one encounter is great. We all need the first encounter with the Lord to become a Christian, to receive our salvation, and to start a journey with the Lord. But what I've learned in my own life is that we need continuous encounters with the Lord, and continuous meetings with the Lord. We become face-to-face with Him, if it's in church, if it's on a mission trip, or wherever you might be. We need that encounters. Myself, I was saved at a young age, encountered with the Lord, went to varsity, but somewhere I lost the plot a bit, and I went off the rails a bit, and I started partying and drinking and being cool at varsity, until in my second year I had another encounter with the Lord, where I could clearly hear Him sitting in a church sermon like this today, speaking to me about my lifestyle, and that I'm not reflecting His love to the people around me and His grace. And that encounter changed my life once again, back onto the right track. And I realized that, we need that continuously. We can't just sit back, think we were saved 15 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, and we're okay now. We need to search for those encounters daily, searching, pressing into the Lord's Word, pressing into prayer time, spending time with other Christians in small groups, at church, having those encounters together, because we need that for our walk with the Lord. I mean, Paul was completely sold out for the Lord. He says in Philippians 1, verse 21, he says, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul purely lived to share the gospel of the Lord with the people. He was persecuted. Don't think he had a nice journey, an easy road. Paul was persecuted. He was the one time he was stoned, and he was left to die, and he survived. He was shipwrecked a few times. He was beaten up a few times. He was in prison a few times. All of that for his faith. And this holiday, I had to reflect on my own life and ask myself, compared to Paul, who suffered for the Lord after his encounter, what am I doing with my encounter that I had with the Lord? Am I selfish with it? Am I sitting in church every Sunday receiving from Andre and from the guys in front, receiving from the Lord, and then just keeping it to myself? Or am I actually going out like Paul did and using my encounter with the Lord to further his kingdom, to let other people have their first encounter? Because through Paul, I believe many thousands of people came to encounter with the Lord for the first time, got saved from their old lives and started a new life with the Lord. And I had to ask myself, what did I do in 2012? Did I even invite people to church for the first time? Was I too embarrassed? Was I too shy? Where Paul was beaten up, man. Yes, he went all out for the Lord, and I had to ask myself, yo, I need to step up in 2013 and make a more impact for the Lord and make sure that other people can also have an encounter with the Lord. It's very easy for us to forget grace. If I look back when I was saved, and even the second encounter at varsity, you know, I didn't have a good life before then. I was naughty, and the Lord changed me, and I understood grace then. But as time goes on, you kind of forget where you were and the Lord's grace that saved you. And that's when we become selfish in our own lives and say, okay, thank you, Lord, you saved me. We sit in church and a person walks in and he might dress a bit strange, and we're immediately thinking, yo, there's a weird guy or whatever the case may be. And that's so wrong, because we must understand grace forever. And we must have that same grace and compassion that the Lord has for us with people in our communities, and invite them to church and make sure they can also have an encounter with the Lord. Let's read in Romans 3, verse 22 to 24 in the NIV. It says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So Paul understood that we all sin, we all make mistakes, we are all on the right, on the wrong track. But luckily, he says, but we are all freely justified through Jesus Christ and His grace on the cross. So all of us sitting here today, all of your people at work, the person that you might believe in your heart will never change, is so far lost or whatever. He will also be changed if he understands the justification that he's received through the cross of Jesus Christ. And you and I might be the only people able to speak to them and to minister to them at our workplace or wherever we go, to make them understand that it doesn't matter what your past looked like. It doesn't matter what you did this holiday. It doesn't matter what you did in 2012 or 5 years ago. The Lord died for us. The Lord was crucified for our sins so that we can be freely justified. The definition of justified is it's declared or made righteous in the sight of God. Justified. Justified, never sin. Like a new beginning, like Dion saying, a new slate, a clean slate. Now we're standing here in 2013, the first week, and we can start off the year at work and wherever on a clean slate, but also in our faith. Let us start this year off on a clean slate. New beginnings, forget what's behind, and live fully for the Lord, because we are forgiven. We must realize that we are forgiven, completely forgiven. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, still Paul writing. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Can we say that together? No condemnation. See, people, the only one who condemns us is Satan and ourselves sometimes. We will continually remember what we did in the past. That one sin that you just can't forgive yourself. You condemn yourself over and over. And just the day you decide you now actually dealt with it and you're over it, Satan will just put it in your mind again. You can't go to church. Remember what you did last week. You know, just like it. No one knows about it, but I saw you. That's condemnation. And that's not from the Lord. Because the Word of God says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sin, but there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So the devil will come and remind us of that sin so that we sit there and condemn ourselves so badly that we actually don't even want to go to church or cell group anymore because we feel so guilty and ashamed of those sin that's actually been forgiven a long time ago. Because the Word of God also tells us that the Lord doesn't remember our sins. He removes us as far as the east is from the west. He can never meet again. But we are the ones hanging on to that simple, small sin in your own life, and you cannot lay it down in front of God, giving it to Him forever, because He's already forgotten about it. So people, let us not, in the new year, not condemn ourselves and believe the lies of Satan. Let's just hold on to the promises of God. There's no condemnation, and we are freely justified by His grace. Now, Paul's advice in Philippians 2, from verse 5 to 8, and it's like, it's a good start for the new year for us to hold on to this instruction from Paul or the advice he gives us here. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, I want us to understand what Jesus did here. Jesus is God. He's a king of all kings. And he decided for you and me to come down to earth, become a human being, live on the earth, be a man, humbling himself so much. I want you to imagine at your workplace, your company, if the directors or the CEO, the top guys, you know, the guys with the proper suits and ties. And I want you to imagine if they decide tomorrow when you go back to work that they're going to actually swap roles with the cleaning staff. And they put their blue robot or whatever overalls on and lay down their suits and ties in their position and start cleaning the building. It'll be weird, eh? It'll be weird to see your CEO or your director mopping floors and you sitting on your chair with your laptop and thinking, what's happening here? And that's even more what Jesus did. He was the king of all kings. He was more than a CEO will ever be or a director. And he decided, you know what? My people need me. My people need to be saved from their sins and their past. I will go down and I'll save them. I will humble myself, like the Word of God says, and go and save them. And he did that. Now it's for you and me to accept that offering, that grace from God, the forgiveness of God, the justification that God gives us, and take it into the new year with us, not condemning ourselves for the sins in the past, but to hang on to God's promises and to make sure that we have an encounter with God, even today, that we have an encounter with God, deal with the things we have to deal with. If there's a sin in your life that's holding you back from the past, today is the day you must deal with that and move forward in 2013 as the new year has started. So just like Paul, I wanted to ask you, first of all, have you ever had an encounter with God? And hand in hand with that question would be, when last did you really feel that you had an encounter with God, if you had one before? And then thirdly, the challenge for the new year I want to put out there is, what did you do with that encounter? What did you do with that encounter with God when you met with God and He changed your life forever? What are we doing with that? I'm talking to myself here as well. What am I doing with it? What am I going to do with it in 2013? Am I going to make a stance for the Lord, spreading the good news that we're all forgiven, just like Paul did? I mean, Paul was saved from being a murderer to becoming probably the biggest apostle of all time, writing a third of the New Testament. And that's the kind of grace God has for all of us. So I want to end off just by asking if Dion can maybe perhaps get onto the stage or the band, just to sit back and think perhaps for a few seconds of 2012, what happened in your own life, in your spiritual walk with the Lord. Something you might be holding on to, sin or whatever it might be, something holding you back. I want to encourage you to give it to the Lord this morning, to move on. You are forgiven. If you accept God's grace and you repent, He says that no sin is too big for His grace. So I want to encourage you to just sit back for a few seconds, pray to the Lord, let Him reveal to you the things that's holding you back, because the Lord also wants you to become a Paul and not remain a Saul. So please, people, let's just open our hearts to the Lord. And I'm going to pray for us, and I want to ask you, if you never have had an encounter with the Lord ever, and you still feel like a soul that's lost and chasing after the wrong things in life, that you would be bold enough, if all of us can just close our eyes as well, if you would be bold enough, if you never had an encounter with the Lord, to, while all our eyes are closed, just to raise your hand and just be bold enough to receive an encounter with the Lord, because the Lord is always ready for us to have an encounter with Him, no matter where we've been last year, no matter what we've done. The Lord also always wants to meet with us and set us free from the past. So if you've never had an encounter with the Lord before and you want to do it this morning, you can just please raise your hand and we can pray with you. No one's going to call you to the front. It's just going to be you and the Lord having an encounter. Lord Jesus, we just thank you this morning, Lord, that you are always ready to have an encounter with us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you did not only save Saul, Lord, but you also saved us, Lord Jesus. Sinners, people who make mistakes daily, Father God. Thank you that you love us so much that you sent your only Son, Lord, to die for us, Father God, to set us free from the past, Lord. Father God, and I just pray this morning for every person here, Lord, this morning who has never met with you, Father God, who doesn't know you, never had an encounter with you, Lord, that you will just speak to their hearts, Father God. You will minister to our hearts, Lord, and just reveal your love to us this morning, Lord. May we have an encounter with you this morning, Lord, that will change our lives forever, Father God. And Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you love us, Father God, each and every one this morning. It doesn't matter what we did last week or last year or in the past, Lord. Your grace is sufficient for us, Father God. And, you know, I also want to ask you, if you feel like you haven't had an encounter with the Lord for a while and you feel dry and you are saved, but you feel you need another encounter with the Lord, a fresh touch from Him this morning, just to boost you for the new year. And also just ask you to just raise your hand if you'd like to pray with you. Thank you for the hands. I see them. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, you saw the hands, Lord. You know our hearts, Father God. And we so easily drift away, Father God, from your goodness, Lord. And we so easily forget your grace and your goodness, Father God. So this morning, Lord, I pray for each and everyone who raised their hands, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll have a meeting with them right now in Jesus' name, Lord. That you will speak to their hearts and their minds and their spirit in the name of Jesus, Lord. That they will experience you like never before, Father God. And today they will remember as their encounter with you, Father God, that changed their lives, Lord. That they will use this encounter in 2013, Father God, to change other people's lives and to make sure other people have an encounter with you as well, Father God. So I thank you for their boldness to raise their hand. I know you will honor them, Father God. I pray a blessing upon their lives. Your Lord, just bless them, Father God, and speak to their hearts, Lord. They will just lay down everything in front of you that they need to lay down this morning, Lord. Things holding them back. I just thank you, Lord, that they'll just be set free in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you for a new beginning and for a new year, Lord. A year they'll remember for your goodness and your grace in Jesus' name. Father God, we just thank you also just for this morning, Lord. Thank you for being here with us, Father God. And we just praise your name, Lord, that you are a good God. A God who is ready to forgive us and set us free from our past and our sins and things holding us back, Lord. We want to praise your name, Lord, and be excited about 2013 and everything you're going to do for our lives and in our lives and in this church, Father God. So I want to pray a blessing upon everyone here this morning, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord. May us just remember your goodness and your grace, Lord. And may we encounter with you daily, Father God. And may you use us, Lord, to minister to people in our workplace and wherever we move, Lord, that they will also have an encounter with you, Lord, because without that encounter, Lord, without your presence, Lord, we are lost like Saul was lost, Father God. But thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. We honor your name. In Jesus' name, amen.